All right, looks like they're about to close the door, so I'll go ahead and get started. So how's everyone doing today? Good? Awesome sessions today? Yeah? All right. So I'm Tejas Patel. I work on the information protection team, which includes the rights management services business. And today we're going to be talking a lot about Azure AD RMS and basically how do you get it, how do you enable it, and walking through the various topologies that you might have in your organization. First, I wanted to start off with a recap of our earlier session presented by Dan Plastina behind us, and that session was B222 or 322. So if you want to go take a look at it, in case there's a little bit of context missing, it'll be available as a webcast within 24 to 48 hours. I highly recommend it. But really, what I first wanted to start off with was a brief recap. So really, there are several different things we're promising as a rights management business. So the first promise that we're making is I can protect any file type. So traditionally, RMS has always been really centered around the Microsoft Office file format, so typically PowerPoint, Excel, Word, and Outlook messages. We're also going to be including support via vendors and third parties for PDF, and then we're also going to offer generic protection for text files, JPEGs, GIFs, GIFs, and other ones that can be natively rendered through our own application, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The third part is we're also going to be offering essentially what's known as generic file protection. So if an app hasn't been RMS-enabled yet, what we'll enable it to do is essentially provide a WinZip-like functionality, so where something is protected, it's essentially dropped in a container, and basically the content remains encrypted until the person is actually authorized to open it. Once it's authorized, the user can then open the document in the native application itself. So that's something we're working on. It'll be coming out very soon now. Second is, we talked a lot about devices today. So one of the shortcomings of RMS is as people kind of are bringing their own devices to work, we're seeing a lot of new needs from our business. And so one of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier today is that I can consume protected content on important devices. So right now we're in process of adding 6 new SDKs. We're going to add support for SDK for iOS, Android, RT, and of course all of our Windows platforms. But the two things there to note, too, is we'll also have an application that will enable you to actually view some of the generic file formats actually on these devices. So you can actually, now if I'm running iOS on my iPhone, I'm running an iPad, I have some sort of a way to actually view this content. So we're really, really excited about adding the support. The next important point, kind of as a recap, is I can share with anyone, and they have a way of signing up to view the content for free. So one of the common points earlier with using AD-RMS was everything was a point-to-point federation. And a lot of times with point-to-point federations, that's when you actually have to get your legal department involved, you actually have to exchange agreements, and it became a really friction-full process. And really what we're wanting to do now is to say, okay, once you've federated to Office 365 and AAD, basically we'll be serving as a hub and spoke with RMS as essentially the trust layer with AAD to offer authentication so people can seamlessly interchange content. Now, the other part about that is we're also going to provide an updated offer. So let's just say today I'm in Office 365. I want to share content with someone that's not in Office 365 or AAD. So we're going to enable a new sign-up flow that will enable someone whose organization has not signed up for Office 365 to be able to actually consume content. That'll be a simple three-step process. Basically, enter in your email address. We'll send a verification mail to verify your identity. And then you just enter in your password and the region you're in, and you're off to the races. And the second part is there's still a need for supporting consumer identity. So if I'm an accountant or I'm working, you know, on my personal taxes, people are exchanging information back around. So we'll add later on this year support for Live ID and Google ID to exchange information with individuals. Now, the next part of the promise is I can keep my data on-premise if the cloud scares me. So one thing to note about AD-RMS, or even RMS as a general technology, is that the content is never given to the RMS server. The only thing that's given to us is information about the policy, so we can do the evaluation or authorization, and then return a license back. So we at Microsoft, using even AD-RM, never see the content itself. It's always kept away from us. So what we also wanted to kind of talk about there is, maybe you're not quite ready to go in the cloud. You might not be ready. You might be trying out some stuff, or you're just, no, we don't want to go to the cloud. But one thing to note, though, with our offering is that we never see the data. We only see the cryptographic keys required to do encryption and decryption. The content always stays wherever it was sourced. Next point, kind of as the recap, is I can control my RMS tenant key from on-premise. Now, one of the things that Dan talked about a little bit earlier is this kind of notion of key rejuvenation. And key rejuvenation basically lets you be in control of how your keys are being used. And I would strongly encourage everyone to kind of, you know, once the webcast is out, to actually go back and hear more about key rejuvenation. But essentially, there's kind of a short-lived token, and every 4 hours, you know, we'll kind of do a refresh of that. If we don't see that refresh happening, basically any of the content protected by the key, basically the key goes away from us, so we can't decrypt any of the content subsequently. Next is I'm aware of what's going on with my protected data. So I'm going to be one of the key aspects of a well-behaved rights management or DRM application is knowing what's happening with any of the usage of your content, because you want to be able to make sure that there isn't any malevolent use of that data. You want to make sure you understand the usage patterns, forensics, and everything else, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that later. And also the final point is we're kind of on a resurgence here, and one of the other items that we really want to, you know, kind of bring through is you can really rely upon us. So we'll talk about a little bit more of our trustworthy statements later, but then there's also a series of partners out there that are ready to help you within your enterprise or your organization round out the solution to make sure it's complete for you. So that's kind of the brief recap from this morning. Now, as we're kind of moving along, so there's a lot of decisions to be made here. So basically, we offer essentially a set of topologies, and we hope, you know, I think we've covered the majority of them. But really, one of the key things that we want to talk about today is Azure AD RM for Office 365 is the easiest way to get information protection. Just kind of a brief raise of hands out there. How many folks have deployed RMS, AD RMS today? All right, not many. So you guys might be, you know, my first ones coming to AD RM. But basically, one of the key concerns with our on-premise product was it was a very difficult process to deploy, because a lot of times it got kind of stacked downwards because you essentially had to go get your infrastructure, and then there was other IT projects that you had to enable. And basically on the prioritization list, it became lower, even though it's probably the most important thing that you're protecting within your enterprise is your own data. And so basically, if you can quickly adopt Office 365, everything will start working quickly. And then we'll talk about the offers and how they kind of correlate with each other. Next is we're coming up with a new offering called the Hybrid Connector. And really, the way to think about this is, you already have a lot of applications within your enterprise or workloads that are enabled for IRM. This includes Exchange 2010, SharePoint, FCI, and of course with Office 2013. Now, basically, with the way that the connector is and enabling AADRM, and we'll actually go through all the screens, it's literally about a 30, 45-minute process just to get all the AADRM portions working. And that includes the connector, it includes switching it on, and we'll show you how easy it is. But if you already have the applications already within your enterprise to get started, it's really the quickest path to start protecting your data. Next, there are some customers out there, and there's a spectrum. And for the most paranoid, we suggest we're going to talk about this new offer, which is called Bring Your Own Key. And Bring Your Own Key basically enables a HSM to HSM transfer from your enterprise over to Microsoft. And basically, this is kind of a series of features. So one is you bring your own key. You have logging to understand what's happening with your key, and then essentially have the key rejuvenation to make sure you stay in control of your key, to make sure that at any time you have total control of your content and how it's being used. And last, we talked about a little bit before, but generic protection offers creates the most reach for any content. So if you don't have an RMS Enlighten application, so I think I was speaking to a gentleman in the back regarding CAD applications, basically this is a stopgap. Right, so the experience is this. Essentially, we create the WinZip file that contains it, and then you'll get essentially a privacy dialog kind of notification or a notification that says, hey, this app has not yet been enabled for RMS yet. Please follow the policies and go from there. And independently, we'll also be talking to ISVs, understanding what the demands of our customers are for a given type of application so we can approach them as well. And the last kind of note, IP Viewer. So IP Viewer is going to provide the capability on devices to view any of this type of content. And basically, it's also going to be kind of a way to enable more enhanced sharing scenarios, as well as the way to easily deploy the correct configuration required for Office 2010. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. So moving on, so session goals. So you guys have data everywhere, right? So you have data in your enterprise, potentially in Office 365. Your users might be using cloud drives. They can also be using devices. So really, by the end of the session, what I want to explain is how to secure this data using RMS. And so what we're going to first talk about are the modern RMS offers. And over here, we have kind of a spectrum of three things. So one is cloud-ready. So typically what we've seen so far has been if you're cloud-ready, you're aggressively moving your workloads to the cloud right now. And it's just a matter of time before your on-premises workloads are disabled and you're just all in. You're going straight over there. Second type of, I guess, kind of from a taxonomy standpoint, is cloud accepting. So in this, you're ready to move to the cloud, or you're ready to move maybe a department to the cloud, but you're just dipping your toes in the water right now to really understand what the implications are to your organization. And really, you can still have one toe in the cloud, you can have 1 foot back on-prem, but in a lot of the patterns we've seen is perhaps you're moving a department to use SharePoint or a particular set of mailboxes if you have a lot of workers in manufacturing and everything else. So this is kind of the balance. So you've already started, you're in process, but you're still balanced in how you have to manage your data, whether it's on-prem or online. And then finally, the final bucket is cloud hesitant. It's like, look, guys, love these offers. Cloud just isn't happening for us. And so what I also wanted to kind of talk about is on a different pivot, starting with the protection at the beginning. So today, we have an offer, ADRMS, and it works really well for kind of your on-prem workloads. And if you're cloud hesitant, that's where you're going to be. Now, kind of interlaid with that is now you have our new offer, which is Azure ADRMS, and it can really span from any of those customer segments, whether you're ready to go all in or if you're not ready to go in. We have a way to help you kind of come over the kind of the fear, because we don't even see your content. We're allowing you to manage your keys and really stay in control of how that data is used. Second part is cloud drives. So I think one of the things is, even if you're cloud hesitant, unless you're in a super lockdown environment, we're seeing kind of a spread of data everywhere. So the way I think about cloud drives is it's essentially the new USB stick. Right, so used to be on a USB stick, I can leave it wherever. Now we're seeing a lot of folks, whether it's SkyDrive or Dropbox or anywhere else, people are protecting data everywhere just so it's accessible to basically improve their productivity if they're on the road or they just need to quickly work on a file. They usually, a lot of times, don't save it back. They'll save it to the drive. And of course, we have Windows FCI on-prem, which enables RMS integration to basically go through and classify data and essentially apply the right policies to your content. And so you kind of have the spectrum there. And then, of course, you have SharePoint and SharePoint Online. So both SharePoint and SharePoint Online are RMS-enabled today. And basically, SharePoint on-prem, the current offer basically supports online scenarios and ADRMS. So what I'm going to be talking about today is, hey, if you already have SharePoint deployed on-premises, how do I get SharePoint on-premises to work with AADRM? And also, if you've already moved the department to SharePoint Online, how can I get everything to work together? And finally, the last workload, Exchange. So Exchange is a similar boat. I might have user mailboxes on-prem. I might have them online. But what we have to make sure of is that any of the content that's created, whether it's from an on-prem user or an online user, can be exchanged freely so they can actually get to the information in a seamless manner. All right. Moving on. So what I first wanted to do is kind of touch upon, is kind of a brief refresher on some of the features within the workload. So in this particular case, I'm going to be demonstrating Office. And basically, I'm a user who knows how to use RMS. And I'm going to essentially protect my document and kind of show you what we're talking about. Now, a couple of things to point out. So this is Office 2013. Office 2013 is natively integrated with the service. So as you can see in the top right-hand corner, I'm actually logged in as a user using my AAD credentials. And basically, I'm going to just go through the general stream of protecting information. So I click Protect Document, Restricted Access, and Protect the Document. So now a template has been applied on here. Now this is where it gets interesting after this. So now you can see the policy label, which is generated off the service. And now I'm a user, so it's like, all right, when I get home, I'm going to work on this a little bit later. So now I'm going to save the content over to SkyDrive. And it can be any drive, right? It can be Dropbox, any of the new cloud services for storage. So now I go ahead and protect the document. As soon as I've protected that document was encrypted. So a lot of times people kind of tend to focus on the RM portion of our product, which is the rights management, which is what can I do and when can I do it and who can do it. But the other important thing to note is everything's encrypted. So if someone was to get that file now, if they didn't have the right credentials, they'll never be able to open it. So that's one kind of point I want to iterate. It's not only the usage, the encryption is actually really a lot of the value here. Now, I log into my SkyDrive from home. I then take a look at that and say, okay, great, have my documents up here. And now, basically, I'm going to go ahead and download it. As soon as I download it, basically, in this particular case, Word is going to get authorization against the AADRM server to then open the content. So I'm just taking kind of a brief view of it. The other part I kind of wanted to note, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the client section, is Office 2013 is so far the best experience against AADRM. And we'll kind of talk about Office 2010 and what's necessary to configure it. But with Office 2013, it provides kind of a great way to have multiple identities if you happen to switch context a lot. And it's just seamless. You can just, once you're logged in or signed in, everything just works really, really well with AADRM and ADRMS for that case. All right, Exchange. So one of the so in this particular case, sometimes you can't rely upon your users to take care of all of your protection needs. So one of the features within Exchange 2013, both online and on-prem, is the capability to do data loss prevention. So sometimes, you know, people forget what they want to do. So this is kind of the reminder scenario. And so in this particular case, what I'm going to do is create a new mail message, and I need to make some payment info. And what I've done is enter a credit card number. Once I've entered the credit card number, because I've configured policies on the Exchange server, what it's going to do is going to give me a policy tip back, because it's done deep content analysis. It's found, hey, there's a credit card number in here. And it's going to provide a policy tip. So the first thing is, Outlook 2013 is natively integrated with this DLP capability, so it can actually scan through all the content. Two, on the Exchange server itself, when it's going through and processing these messages via transport, it's actually doing the same analysis as well. And then from there, I'm going to go ahead and send the message. And once I send the message, now I'm able to view the message using Outlook web app from Exchange 2010 or 2013. It'll work on both. And the message was automatically protected because the DLP rule was actually triggered in the transport server to automatically protect it with the Contoso confidential view-only template. So it's a really powerful way of, when your users can't quite remember go file or protect, we kind of want to also give them a reminder and also apply automatic policy to the actual content itself. Now, in the slides itself, everything kind of contains all the other features within there too. So there's also the capability of doing journaling within Exchange. So if I want to basically send a mail, and for compliance reasons, if it gets IRM protected, it can also create a clear copy of that message. Two, it does transport decryption. And what that capability enables Exchange to do is to basically decrypt the message so it can actually scan the contents to make sure that it doesn't have any malware or anything else with inside of it. And third is what I've just shown. It's transport protection rules. So based on keywords, using DLP, if there's a contextual pair of, hey, if it's coming from user one to user two, always protect. So it provides a lot of powerful controls to be able to additionally kind of fine-tune it to meet your business requirements. Moving on a little bit, so SharePoint. SharePoint's another, I would call it first-party or Microsoft application that's integrated with IRM. One of the things here is, so I've gone ahead and created a document library. I've uploaded a document here called Widget White Projections. From here, one of the new features within SharePoint 2013 for IRM is to have a view, or I would call it a read-only copy of the of the content within the Web Access Companion. This is a new feature within the 2013 SharePoint. Prior to this, if you try to click and try to get a preview, nothing would happen. But the document libraries also enable you to disable this view. So if you don't want anything to be previewed inside of the Web Access Companion, there's actually a click box in there that says, don't do this. Now from there, I'm looking at the read-only view, and next, I want to go ahead and edit it. So as soon as I want to edit, I have to open it in Excel. Once the document is downloaded to my local machine, basically, as it's being downloaded to my machine, SharePoint applies protection. Once it's applied the protection, basically, then the client's going to make a request to the AADRM server to request rights for that content. So once it does that, then you're seeing kind of the results of that. Now I can go in and edit, and once I click save and close, I can upload it, or even if I keep it on my machine and the file's closed, I know everything's protected with the file itself rather than having to manage the document library independently. Moving along. Are there any questions so far before I move on? All right, and we'll kind of talk about one other item is essentially automated classification via Windows Server Work Folders and DAC. So it's essentially the FCI. Integration with RMS. So there's a couple of things here. One is there are two sessions tomorrow on how FCI integrates with AADRM, RMS in general. One of the newer features coming soon is basically the capability for this feature within Windows Server to directly talk to the AADRM server. So basically, if you have your file servers on-premise, you want to use AADRM, and once you set the policies, FCI will be able then talk to AADRM and then perform any of the protection tasks that you need it to do. And so the two sessions are one, I think the first one I would go to, and it's the first one tomorrow morning, is the B344 session at 8:30, which is using dynamic access control and rights management for information protection. All right, now we'll kind of dig into a little bit about Azure ADRM. So the first point is, we're an Office 365 service. So we're offering our service in the same regions that Office 365 is offered. Two is, we provide the same SLA requirements. So as Microsoft, once you're an Office 365 product, there are a lot of different requirements you have to meet. And we think the bar is pretty high bar, and the bar is only going to get higher for every application within there. And really, we have to provide the same SLA requirements. We have really stringent compliance policies internally that we must meet in order to offer a service. And we keep upping the bar on ourselves. We want to be making sure that we're always doing the right thing for our customers. And the main part about this is, when we're talking about RMS, you're talking about cryptography. You're talking about keys. So we have to make sure that nothing is happening to our customers' data. And it's really funny, in a lot of cases, we're like, we don't want to see the service. We don't want to do anything. We just want to provide simple controls and basically let the service run. We don't ever really want to make sure, or we want to make sure that no data is leaked, and we keep a really high bar on ourselves to ensure that. And really, it's the same trustworthiness requirements that Office 365 has. We're always working day and night to make sure that we're getting better, both from an operational perspective, making sure that all of our surface areas are very well covered in case of attack. And kind of with that, we'll talk about SKUs a little bit later, but one of the things that we're kind of going through right now is working on how to get the government SKU. So there's an additional set of requirements. We're working on it. More than likely, the software will be out towards the end of the calendar year. But it's something that we're working on actively right now, because there's another set of requirements that we must meet to be able to offer that. All right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about, quote unquote, modern RMS topologies. So if you remember the three buckets before, the first bucket was cloud ready, second was cloud accepting, and the third is cloud hesitant. So the first is cloud ready, you're all in, you're ready to go. And so today we offer Office 365 with Azure ADRM. So if you're in the cloud, a few clicks, and it will get enabled, and we'll show that to you in just a second. The second is Azure ADRM, the managed connector. And we'll talk about the connector a little bit, but think about it this way. The connector is essentially a proxy for all of your on-prem workloads. To kind of fool it into thinking it's actually talking to an ADRMS server, when in fact it's actually talking to Azure AD Online. And basically, it's the quickest way, as I was mentioning earlier, of just even getting started with information protection if you have not deployed ADRMS today. And then the second part about that, there's another part, which is, okay, all my apps are on-prem, all my workloads are on-prem, but you can also use a connector in conjunction with Office 365. So, for example, if I'm running Exchange on-prem, I have a few mailboxes on Exchange Online, all the content can flow together to provide a complete experience for your users. And kind of going down a little bit, so if you're in the cloud hesitant category, basically, there's a couple of different things here. One is just Azure ADRM with limited connector and BYOK use. And essentially what this means is, limited connector means you're not syncing all the directory data up to the cloud. You're only synchronizing a smaller subset of that data instead of just giving your whole directory to synchronizing everything into AAD. The second part about that is, you're basically bringing your own key to the service. So that way, you're staying in control of your encryption key and decryption activities the whole time. Now, kind of the second click-stop to that is, once you have the connector, you're bringing in your own key, and then you're also going to have essentially another new set of enlightened applications that you can use against the service, which will help you collaborate with other O365 users, users outside of the service, to share protected content in a frictionless manner. All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about is the cloud-bound organization without RMS today. So if you don't have any RMS today, let's just assume you've gone in. All in. So you've gone ahead and synchronized and moved everything up to Azure Active Directory. You still might be doing dir sync with your local on-prem AD. You have Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and then RMS Online. Your users, they're utilizing all the services. Basically, if you're using EAS to consume IRM protected content, that's going to be Exchange. That's going to work. Office applications, Office 2013, 2010 are going to work. And then you also have the new set of RMS apps, including the IP viewer, that all work against the online service. So here's a quick overview. And literally, if you're really kind of fast and copying and pasting and everything to do these steps, it's literally going to take you 2 to 3 minutes to get everything done. So we'll kind of take a quick walkthrough. So there's really 4 steps to get everything working, kind of between your workloads and your services and AADRM. And a little bit more for Office 2010, but for 2013, it'll just start working right out of the box. First is enabling AADRM. We'll talk about enabling SharePoint Online, enabling Exchange Online, and basically signing into Office to get everything working. So the first thing is enabling AADRM. So we're an Office 365 service. So once you subscribe for either E3, E4, A3, A4, purchase a standalone, we'll talk about that a little bit later, you'll now be able to see rights management kind of in the top right-hand corner. And the way to get there is go to the service settings page. Then that'll take you, you'll see rights management. Next thing is, all you have to do is click the manage button once you get to the page. Once you get to the manage page, you're going to see another button there, which says activate. You're going to click on activate, it's going to confirm, it's going to go ahead and activate, bam. Now, right at that step right there, what that enables is for any Office or desktop applications or even the new mobile SDKs to start working against RMS. That's the only button that's needed. Now, what we want to go ahead and do is configure some of the other workloads. So now, I'll go into SharePoint Online. So I'll get into SharePoint Online. So back to service settings again in the Office 365 portal. Go to Sites, and then click on View Site Collections and Manage Additional Settings in the SharePoint Admin Center. And over here, you'll see the Information Rights Management settings. And by default, set to off, so do not use IRM for this tenant. We'll just go ahead and set that on. Click OK. And at that point, what that prior setting does is basically, for your organization that's hosted in Office 365, it globally enables the capability to do IRM. Now, from there, what you want to do is apply controls, right? So you want to go on a document library basis to say, which of my document libraries are now going to be IRM protected. So there's 2 ways to do this. I'm going to walk through the UI today, but if you have a lot of different sites and a lot of different document libraries that you want to enable IRM on, SharePoint also offers this functionality through PowerShell, so you can kind of go through and run a script to basically enable the settings on a per doc lib basis. So over here, what I'm going to go do is kind of show the manual way. So I'm going to first go to Page, and then I'm going to click on Library Settings. Once I'm on Library Settings, I'm going to go to Information Rights Management, so it's kind of hidden down there. Once the tenant is enabled, there might be a few seconds where if you go hit the settings on the organization-wide settings and then you go to doc library, the setting won't show up until you've enabled it at the organization level. So once I click on that, what I'm going to now do is create a permission policy title. And so this is a neat feature within SharePoint because now anyone that might be coming on a departmental basis or anything else, you can actually have a really descriptive policy label attached to any items that are downloaded or viewed in the web access companion. So in this particular case, I'm going to create my own document library for my Contoso NA widget Y team. And I'm going to give it a policy description. So access to these documents is restricted to the widget Y team. And now from there, SharePoint actually has a lot of additional settings that you can apply to document libraries. One of the newer settings that's available in SharePoint 2013 is to allow group protection. So prior to 2013 and 2010, you would actually have to kind of rely on administrators to be able to say, ACL this, ACL this, ACL this, and then it would essentially pull down those when you're trying to do it. One of the nice things with this is if I, you know, say the widget Y project team, and let's just say I've downloaded a copy of that document now, but then instead of uploading the content back to the document library, let's just say I send it to another member on my team, they'll be able to actually access it right away because now when they come to RMS to get authorization, we'll be able to expand the group and they'll be able to access it right away rather than having to go upload it back to SharePoint and then ask the user to go back and download it. So it's a great new feature. And also it helps kind of with essentially a way of creating kind of departmental policies. So I don't have to use templates. I can just say, hey, this is for my Widget Y project team. Only Widget Y guys can come in here. Gets authorized, and it's a lot easier to manage, and it kind of gives more control back to the departments on how to define the policies for a document library. All right, so now, yes, question. So the question is it just 2013? So SharePoint 2010, works for both. So the question is, which clients are supported with this functionality? And it is, yes, it is both Office 2010 and Office 2013. All right, so now we've gone ahead and enabled AADRM, we've enabled SharePoint Online, so we're going to enable Exchange Online. So one caveat here, we're working with the Exchange team to still optimize this experience a little bit, so this will be in place probably for the next several months. And after the next several months, essentially when you click the Activate AADRM button, basically it'll start enabling kind of the default functionality of Exchange Online, which is to enable IRM and OWA and IRM and EAS by default. So right now, it's a really simple set, I mean, like five or six commandlets. First thing you need to do is get connected to Exchange Online via PowerShell. So this is just a standard, hey, I need to connect, I need to do remote PowerShell. It'll then download it, put all the commandlets locally so they can use it. The more important part is configuring IRM. So there's three commandlets that you need to run. The first is to set the IRM configuration. So basically, within the notes of this deck, which will be available later, it contains more detailed information on what all the commandlets do and what you need to kind of enter in. So the first one is saying, okay, I need to set up my IRM configuration. So what it's then going to do is we have to provide it a URL that'll point back to the AADRM service. This URL is dependent upon which region your company is based in. So there'll be a series of three. This one's pointing to the North American instance. There'll also be one for Europe and another one for Asia. And it's all in the documentation, so I've provided links that'll kind of tell you exactly which one is set. The second step is actually literally getting the key over from Exchange Online or from AADRM into Exchange Online so it can actually do all of the functionality that it needs to do. And finally, the third step is just enabling the features. And as soon as you're done with this, you're going to have a working set for, like I mentioned, IRM and OWA, and also IRM and EAS. So that'll just work right away. Then, once that's enabled, what you can then do is go enable the transport protection rules. You can then enable DLP to use the IRM functionality as well. So as soon as you go through these steps, then it's up to you to kind of customize the behavior that you want out of transport rules right after that's completed. Finally, so we're going to talk a little bit about client deployment considerations. So basically, as I mentioned, Office 2013, natively integrated with AADRM. Office 2010 will require IP viewer. In the interim, it can actually be configured via tools and QFEs. I've provided reference links to these as well. Second part is IP viewer. So one of the things we want to do is really make it easy for people to be able to consume this content and get Office 2010 configured. So the IP viewer, as Dan was talking about a little bit earlier today, is a new application that also supports generic files and also kind of the generic files in text, JPEG, etc. And the other part we want to be able to do is, a lot of times when you're sharing content across organizations, if that other organization doesn't have any sort of IRM, you want to be able to make sure that if they're using Office 2010, there's some sort of way to get the machines updated in the proper state to make sure they're able to consume that content. So what we're going to do is we're going to package everything that's required from a client perspective for IRM together with IP Viewer. Now, there's a couple of things. So IP Viewer can be, as I mentioned earlier, can be deployed by users. So essentially, I can go through the install process, it'll install it. It'll also be a supported kind of the IT deployment model, right? So if I'm using GPOs, SCCM, et cetera, so you can then push out a silent install to make sure that your users are properly configured for the service. And as I was mentioning earlier, please view Dan's talk, and it has more details on the functionality of the application itself. All right, so as I was mentioning, so you can go ahead and try it now. So this is available to sign up for an E3 trial account. You can create user accounts, turn on RMS, SharePoint, Exchange. If you're trying the E3 trial, you can also get Office 2013 as a part of that. And then in the notes, in the section when we release the deck, it has kind of all the technical details or kind of more references within there so you can take a look at it. So that's kind of part one. So what we've just discussed is basically I'm an organization. 2 feet in, I can just go enable IRM right away. So now, what we're talking about is kind of the cloud accepting enterprise. So there's kind of two scenarios here. So one is, you're going to slowly start moving your applications or services to the cloud. But right now, you just want to start doing data protection. And so really, in this particular case, there's kind of a couple of different pieces required. So one is, you have Active Directory on premises. You need to be able to first synchronize that to Azure Active Directory. And then RMSO is going to use that information from Azure Active Directory. Now, there's a couple of pieces that we'll talk about in just a few moments, but really the information RMS needs to operate are two things. One is the capability to be able to look up users for authorization, and the second is for groups, distribution groups, so we can expand those. So for instance, if I create a new mail message, I protect it to a distribution group, we then see that requests come to us. We need to be able to expand that distribution group to give authorization back to the user. And in this particular case, you're essentially your desktop applications or the RMS applications from a client perspective will all work against the service, but all of your on-prem workloads, such as email and SharePoint, will go through the connector to talk to AADRM. All right, so a few details here. So one is, as I mentioned before, it connects your on-premise workloads to AADRM. So it's really just this really simple deployment. So you can use kind of the minimum plus a little bit more sizing for the hardware. You need two servers just to make sure you have it there for redundancy. Second is, it's a very simple administration model. So all you really have to do is to maintain a list of authorized applications that are allowed to use the connector to make sure that when they make the request, we understand who they are from the AADRM perspective. If they're not on the list, we reject the request because they're not an authorized principal into the system. So it's really, and I'll walk you through the screens in just a moment. Next is, it supports the on-premise server application. So as mentioned before, this will support SharePoint 2010, 2013, Exchange 2010, and Exchange 2013. There are two different QFEs, one for SharePoint, one for Exchange, that need to be applied onto the machines and a little bit of configuration. And third, the connector also enables hybrid workload integration. And I want to kind of keep that separate then from a hybrid RMS kind of coexistence standpoint. And what I mean by hybrid workload integration is you have Exchange on-prem, you have Exchange online. You have SharePoint on-prem, you have SharePoint online. So essentially, it supports the workloads being able to work online or on-prem. All right, so the next part is requires AD synchronization to AAD. So as I mentioned before, we have to be able to look up the users that we need to give authorization to and group expansion to make sure that, hey, if someone's protected something to a distribution group, we have a way to look at the group membership. For this, you can use DirSync or FIM. It all depends on the topology that you're using within your organization to be able to support this. And three, for the users that are going to be connecting via Office, we need to be able to make sure they're able to authenticate against the service itself. So typically the way is you can either do ADFS, or as we announced a couple of days ago, you can actually do password synchronization via Azure Active Directory to make sure that when a user signs onto their on-prem machine, you know, via the AD, however it might be, once they authenticate against online, everything just works for them, so they're not prompted again. Next is kind of the SKUs that it's supported on. So to support the connector, we're supporting on Server 08 R2 and Windows Server 12. So the SKUs supported is basically all the non-core versions are supported. And really, we're looking at the minimum hardware requirements to support to support the connector itself. We'll have additional details probably within the next month or so as we're going to start a TAP program. So if anyone here is interested, please, you know, come up to me after the talk or ask the experts, and we'll try to figure out how to get you onto the list. All right. So let's talk about the steps required to do this. So the first one is federate with AAD. So we've talked about that a little bit more. I've also included more information on how to configure DirSync, and then I'll add in links after this for ADFS and password synchronization as well, so you understand all the steps that are necessary. Two is you have to enable AADRM. So basically, you'll go back to the Office 365 portal, enable the button, everything's ready to go. Three, you have to install and configure the connector. So this is literally about, I don't know, 6-7 steps, if any, and you're on your way. The other kind of guidance with it is, you know, kind of outside of the connector itself, is configuring load balancing and SSL, which is optional. So we'll have more detailed guidance on that coming out, but this is just kind of the min set to get everything going. Next step is how do you have to configure your on-prem workloads to actually talk through the connector as it appears, to make it appear like an ADRMS server. So there will be cumulative updates for Exchange. There's the MSDRM QFE coming out for SharePoint 2010 and our new SDK, MSIPC, for SharePoint 2013. And then basically, since it is kind of the connector, we basically have to configure the Exchange on-prem and SharePoint on-prem servers to go through the connector. And the way we do that is essentially through a couple of keys called licensing redirection that makes it appear that it's actually going to a different destination. And we'll walk through those steps. And finally, enable the functionality. So this is kind of what we did in the cloud steps, but they're a little bit different for the on-prem application, so we'll walk through that. So the first is federate with AAD. So there's one session coming up Thursday between 2:45 and 4 o'clock. That'll work through walk through basically enabling DuraSync, enabling ADFS to connect your on-prem AD to Office or to AAD. And if you're also using Office 365, it'll explain how to do this as well. Next is enable AADRM. So we've kind of gone ahead and done this before. So simply click the activate button. You're ready to go. Third is installing the connector. So to install the connector, it's a small setup. You're basically going to install the AADRM connector, agree. And over here, you're going to enter in your AADRM credentials, because basically we need to be able to make sure that we can have the connector authenticate to AADRM, or you can create essentially what's known kind of the service account method, and basically then the connector is authorized to basically create the service principles and everything else it needs to be able to authenticate against AADRM. Next is go through setup, and bam, that's it. That's the install. So there isn't really any bells or whistles to twist or turn or anything else. It's just ready for you to go. Now, the second part about the connector is now you have to authorize your applications. So now you'll log in as an admin. You'll then select, you know, the service types or servers that you want to add. You'll then specify the workload. So if you're using SharePoint and have those on distribution group, you're basically going to enter in the SharePoint server. I have now authorized this particular server as a SharePoint server. And basically what it's doing on the service as soon as I do the authorization is it's creating a service principle so we know who's authenticating against the service for any requests that are coming to us. And that's where it'll kind of become more important in logging, because we want to be able to keep a detailed activity log of what's happening from all these workloads. And really, that was it. That's setting up the connector. So do this twice, configure load balancing, SSL, and the connector will just start working against AADRM. Question? Yes, so the question is, in a prior session, someone mentioned that you don't have to do federation anymore, there would be password sync. So there's really two issues. So one is, for RMS in particular, so if I'm just logging into a service and I need to authenticate, password synchronization allows users to be able to authenticate using password synchronization. For RMS, in order to do the authorization, basically we need to be able to take a look at the users and groups that are coming to us so we can do an evaluation to make sure that the person that's trying to access the content is authorized. All right, so prepare Exchange and SharePoint. So one, as I mentioned before, we'll need an update will be released for Exchange 2010 and 2013. Right now it's looking, I would give a rough timeline of third quarter of this calendar year. And basically it's going to be released as a cumulative update. The second is an update is going to be required for SharePoint 2013. So if you go through the SharePoint 2013 installation process, when you're installing any of the dependencies required for IRM, we're just going to provide them a new drop. So as you're going through install, you'll have the newest drop. If you don't have that on there, we'll provide documentation on where you can get the newest QFE for this. Third is basically the configuration required to use a connector on the actual workloads itself. So the reason we need to apply this configuration is we need to apply via the registry on the Exchange servers and SharePoint to basically route the calls through the connector rather than trying to go directly to the AADRM service because it's unable to authenticate. And so there's going to be another tool that we're releasing that will provide a way to generate any of the registry files. Basically, it will create a GPO package, or you can just set it locally if you're doing any testing on it. And it's a really simple tool, so we're going to release it as a PowerShell commandlet. But basically, there's a couple of things. So one is you're going to enter in your connector URL, and that's going to be aadrmconnector.yourorg.com, whatever URL you specify. And basically, it's going to give you those three options. So one is it can configure a registry file if you only wanted to apply to Exchange or test that or anything. Two, it'll create a GPO package. And three, it'll create a creation script. And then from there, once you do the GPO creation script, in this particular example, it'll go ahead and create that. You take that GPO script and then assign the GPO to the applied service. So whether it's a SharePoint server or Exchange server, you can scope down to the correct workloads. Next step, enable Exchange. So this is very similar to the online experience, except there are two commandlets here. So basically all you have to be able to do here is log in as an Exchange admin. And one of the first commandlet you want to run is set IRM configuration. And then you want to be able to enable the IRM functionality. And then two, just as a kind of a quick test, after you've ran the commandlet to set everything, you just do a get IRM configuration. And that'll tell you kind of the configuration that everything's using. And it's essentially a quick way to test out your config to make sure everything's going to work. So just two commandlets there. Now, when we're talking about SharePoint, SharePoint's very similar. So this is actually using SharePoint on-premises, so it's a little bit different than the online. But in this particular case, what you're going to do is you're going to select the middle option, which is use the default RMS server specified in the directory. And what it's really doing underneath the covers there is actually using those registry overrides to discover the location of the connector, and then it'll proxy the call over to the AADRM server itself. All right. So now, kind of as a quick recap, so what we've done now is I have my on-prem workloads, so I might have SharePoint, I might have Exchange, and what I've done is basically enabled those applications to use the connector against AADRM directly. So it's a pretty quick process once you get started on it. Now what we're going to talk about is a little bit kind of the cloud hesitant without, and you don't have RMS today. Now in this particular diagram, this is really about the bring your own key offer. So imagine this scenario. So I have AADRM or RMSO in the cloud. We have another subservice within our RMS offering today, which is called KMS for Key Management Services, and that contains an HSM. You also have an HSM on-prem, and essentially what you're going to do is transfer the key over to us. You're then going to synchronize your directory all the way to AAD, same step as before when you're just using the connector without this particular offering. And then you're going, connecting, basically giving RMSO or AADRM the capability to look at AAD to do group expansion. And really, the thing to note here is, you know, I'll kind of reiterate it again, is when you're doing any requests for licenses or any authorization against RMS, you're never sending the content with the request itself. Your content stays where it is. Basically, we're doing the crypto and then releasing you a key that will enable you to decrypt it locally. So your content is never seen by us. So if you're in the, you know, kind of position where, all right, you know, I need to be able to do data protection, I don't necessarily want to do AADRMS at this particular time, this provides another way of enabling information protection within your organization. And kind of as mentioned before, any of the desktop applications or kind of, I would say, desktop or mobile applications will talk to AADRM. And kind of as we talked before, any of your on-prem workloads will still kind of go through Exchange or SharePoint or go through the connector itself. Question? Correct. Correct. And we'll talk about that process and how we're handling that, because there's some very important details there of how it's transferred to us to make sure that we're never able to see the key. And also kind of the logging to make sure if there's any sort of detection that happens there to say, oh my gosh, I see, you know, logs creeping up here, and providing tools to basically know that something wrong is happening, and so you can basically disable or support right away. Yep. All right, so really, I mean, there's really kind of two parts of it. One is keep track of what's happening with your data. So as I was mentioning, you want to really monitor for abuse, report on usage, and support forensic analysis. And with the logging, we're going to provide near real-time logging, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that in just a few moments. And the second item is really about bringing your own key. So it's really about bringing your key on your own terms and being able to stay in control of your key and any of the data protected to that key. And also, the last kind of portion, and we'll talk about this as the last topology, is really this is the way to support a hybrid topology where you already have deployed AADRMS and also want to use AADRM for some of the new capabilities that we're bringing to market soon. So the first thing is logging details. So really, we're going to provide your logs in near real time. So it allows you, as I was mentioning, abuse, usage, support forensics. All RMS transactions, such as client bootstrapping, any license acquisition, is then logged within our system. Now, the logs are hosted, will be hosted on Azure storage. So you'll basically, you're billed for your own usage. We'll show you how to create your Azure account, your storage account. And basically, it's up to you to manage essentially that data or talk to an ISV on how to prune and, you know, figure out what you want to monitor, log, et cetera, with that. And I'll show you how to get there. And then I was mentioning, to consume logs, you're going to, you know, we're going to provide a simple tool that will enable you to download your logs as a CSV file. You can write your own tool using the Windows Azure Storage SDK, or you can purchase an application for rich monitoring, reporting, and forensics. So let's walk through how to enable logging. So there's really two steps here. One is create your Azure storage account, and two is configure a DRM. So for if anyone hasn't done this yet, now I'm walking through kind of the, you know, I've signed into the Windows Azure portal, don't have a storage account yet. I'll go ahead and now create a storage account. Now, one particular thing of note here is location/affinity group. So right now, we're deployed in essentially each Azure region. So what you want to do when you're selecting this particular region is to select it based essentially on the region that you're in, but really the continent that you're on. So if you're in North America, you can choose any of the US data centers or wherever is kind of the closest to you. We'll also be expanding to deploy, you know, a local instance in South America. We already have instances in Europe for our service. We also have instances in Asia. So really you want to pick essentially kind of the, I wouldn't call it the region, but kind of one level up to say, okay, what's the closest one to my country more than anything else. Second thing is, now I've gone ahead and created that particular one. So there's one more step here, which is your access key. So this access key is necessary for anyone to be able to access the logs that are stored in there. So just remember, you can always get back to it, but you'll need this key at a later point to be able to authenticate so you can download the logs. Next step is there's going to be another commandlet that's provided by ADRM. And basically what you're doing is saying, okay, I want to get my storage account. Here's my storage account name. And here's the storage key that I was referring to earlier so I can actually go through authenticate. And then here's the commit. And then the subsequent commandlet is basically here's the usage log that I want to create, the path, and then basically the counter of, you know, which logs I want to start off on, you know, 001 all the way through 0050, and then you're able to download it. And below is just a kind of a basic version of the type of logs that you'll get. And here you're seeing kind of essentially all the basic RMS transactions. So one from bootstrapping, being able to discover where the service is, and you're getting a request in there to decrypt content. And so it's going to walk you through. And, you know, what we're going to also do is ISVs come on is give them kind of more essentially a translation layer so they can make it in more readable English rather than kind of the techie log to make sure that you're able to get a clean report out of it. All right, bring your own key. So before I move on, were there any questions about logging? Yes, one question in the back. So the question is, are there going to be any additional integration with Ops Manager or any other services? That's a good question. It's a little bit to be determined. Our first priority is making sure that our partners get a first crack at that to provide the services before we kind of provide any basic reports there. All right, moving on to bring your own key. So as I was mentioning, if you're cloud hesitant, never want to move in the cloud, but you want to be able to quickly enable information protection, and this is really kind of the option for you. So one is anyone familiar with Talos? Talos? All right, so Talos, basically top vendor of HSMs in the world. They secure 19 of 20 of the top financial institutions for any transactions. We use it within Xbox as well. They're used, it's a great vendor and a great partner of ours. Now, the one thing about that is the way that the HSMs are controlled is literally they sit in our data centers. They're sitting in cages in our data centers. There's only a few people that have keys, and even if they can get physical access, basically it's essentially an explosive device. So there's this epoxy devices, there's explosive. Anyone tries to tamper with it, poof, the content's gone. So essentially what we're providing is providing a way to really secure your keys to where we can't see it. And kind of, there's a couple of things here about kind of getting the keys to us. Really what we want to make sure is, you, if you already have a procedure to generate your own keys, you can use that procedure. Now to actually transfer the keys to Microsoft, you actually have to use a Talos device. If a key is in a different type of HSM, you have to work with that HSM vendor to see if you can get that key out of there before you can transfer it to us. And then you can work with Tails to actually get into a Tails HSM to then do a subsequent step of transferring to us. And as I was mentioning before, we can't leak the keys because they're in HSM with no export mode. So we can never get the keys out. They're sitting in there. We never want to see it. We don't want to see it. And it just sits there. Third is, via logging, you'll be able to monitor your key usage in near real time using logging, which we covered a little bit earlier. Now, the other part about it, too, is the actual transfer of the key. So the initial key ceremony is an air-gapped room that we have in Redmond, and you'll need to have quorum with it. So really, the way to kind of think about it is your key is really cached by our HSM, so we need to securely basically transcript them to our HSM security role. So if you're not familiar with TALS, there's essentially a notion of the security role. Security roles contain many key pairs, so what all the transcription process is doing is basically taking your key pair and from your security role and then transcribing it to ours. Right now, you have to fly out to Redmond, transcript the keys, and then you can leave with it. So let's walk through a couple of the steps. So the first step is create keys, so we'll walk through kind of more detail. So this is a step performed by your organization. As I was mentioning, follow your own procedure or create an Intellis device, and I've provided steps on how to do that. Now, the next most important point is if you do it this way, make sure to back up your keys. If you import the keys, and then at some point, you know, let's just say you pull the plug on us and you don't want us to use it, we don't have a copy of the key. It's useless to us, right? So it's because it's going to be through key rejuvenation, we don't have access because you haven't refreshed it. So you have to make sure to back up that. Now, whether it stays in your HSM or in a vault, however you want to do it, please back it up. Because if it's gone, there's no way you'll be able to access your content again. Two, you're going to transfer keys. So you're going to fly out to Redmond. We're going to perform a key ceremony to transfer the keys. So basically, we'll have our representatives from our ops team. You'll have your representatives. And basically, what you have to do is to make sure that the quorum required, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, is available with the admin cards, the Encipher security role, and the keys that contain it, so we can do a transfer of it. And this is all using TALIS software. So this isn't even Microsoft software yet. And then finally, you have to go through the additional steps of enabling RMS or AADRM. And those are just kind of essentially a repeat of the steps that we've gone through before for the connector or even the online service. So first is create a key. So I've provided an example of TALIS. Your examples might be different depending on what type of software you're using. But essentially what you're going to do is create a new security world. And the most important thing here is kind of that quorum. So for the quorum here, you can have, you know, 2 of 4, 3 of 4, 3 of 11, how many of our cards that are actually required physically to be inserted in the readers to be able to actually do anything with those keys. So if you fly to Redmond, you have to have essentially those two cards, or how many, whatever your quorum is, and those individuals that meet the quorum. On our side, we'll have our quorum. And basically, as a key is being transcribed, or before it can be transcripted, everyone has to make sure that the quorum has been established on both sides. And basically, what ends up happening here is this all it's doing here is it's creating a security role. Second now is generating the key. So for us, this is the key length that we support. So it's an RSA key, and the size has to be 2048. And basically, this is going to create a new key pair at that point. And then the last part is you have to be able to, when you create the keys, allow the tools that TALIS provides to actually work with the keys. So these are all the CNG or crypto next generation commands that have to be able to work against the key. So that's the first step, create keys. Second step, is to transfer keys. So here, basically, all we're doing is loading our security world. We're loading your security world into the same HSM, and this is where you have to provide those admin cards so we can set up quorum. The next commandlet is basically transcripting your key from your security world into ours. So it's basically, at that point, saying, okay, I was in security world 1, and let's just say our security world is security world 2. It's going to transcribe them all within the HSM and give it to us. And then at that point, during the key ceremony, in your presence, we're going to reset the HSM and wipe the machine that we've actually done any of this on inside of the air-gapped room. And then our operators are going to upload that key to the actual live service via the HSMs. So that's the trend. Yes? It's not per customer, but we do have dedicated racks of HSMs. To do a dedicated HSM per customer, it just wouldn't scale for the service. Yep. All right. Are there any questions on that so far? I know it's getting late in the day. Everyone's kind of sleepy and groggy. Everyone okay? All right, so we're going to do one more scenario here. So we're going to talk a little bit about hybrid RMS. And so when we're talking about hybrid RMS, I want to make sure everyone is clear that it's not the hybrid workloads. It's really about ADRMS and AADRM working together. So today, let's just assume that you have ADRMS enabled, and that's working with Exchange on-prem, SharePoint on-prem, obviously RMS. You have all of your existing applications, which is your device EAS, your legacy Office applications, and your RMS apps. So let's just say now we've gone ahead and moved part of the workload to the cloud, so Exchange, SharePoint online with Exchange, SharePoint on-prem. Next part about that, we have some users that have gone online and some that stay on-prem. And then finally, we have some of our apps that go online and on-prem. So this is essentially kind of the full flex topology of the last combination, essentially, of everything we wanted to discuss today. And then you have RMSO and KMS. So in this particular stage, you're going to essentially do the key transfer that we were talking about, because what you have to be able to do is to make sure all of your content, whether it's created online or on-prem, can work in both environments. So you have to do a key transfer in order for that to work. The second now is now you have a new set of RMS applications that were built under new SDKs. And to be able to have those applications work, they have to be able to talk to our AADRM service. And so here's kind of what we're adding via AADRM. So the first is the way to get enabled updated device support is to use AADRM in conjunction with AADRMS. So I mentioned before, the new SDKs, a couple of them here, it'll support Windows RT, iOS being a key one, and Android also being a key one as well. Second, we want to make sure that, you know, when you're using RMS in this mode, you have to make sure that the content can flow cleanly throughout your enterprise. And what that means is not only for users, like if I send, you know, an email to one user or to another user, we have to make sure all the workloads, Exchange on-prem, can actually get access to the content to render it in OWA. We need to make sure e-discovery tools don't break in any way to kind of make sure your business processes can keep up with protected information. Any sort of BI tools that you're using against protected data can also work with the content. So we need to make sure that the content's flowing both ways, bidirectionally. And basically, that's why we use the same key in both locations. And the other part is, and this is a very important part, it enables collaboration via AAD. So today, within AADRMS, it's very difficult to enable collaboration across organizations. Basically, as I was mentioning earlier, you have to go through setup federation. Everything's a point-to-point trust. It requires a lot of paperwork, essentially, with your legal department for both organizations to agree on something that's literally a five-minute process. And so what we're really moving towards is having a more of a hub-and-spoke model where anyone's able to collaborate securely with anyone without having a lot of friction in the way. And so going down this path, this is really how we essentially use AADRM to extend our current offering of AADRMS. Now, when we take a look at the steps, I mean, really, it's just a repeat of some of the other steps. So one is federate with AAD, enable DIR sync, enable ADFS or password synchronization so that users that go online can authenticate. Two, bring your own key in from AADRMS, go through the key transfer ceremony, and then import it into Exchange Online. And that's something we're working on, I'll talk about in just a few moments. Three, enable AADRM. So just go hit the activate button. You're ready to go. Four, go enable SharePoint Online. Five, go enable Exchange Online. Then enable the client for AADRM, and essentially at the end of it, you're going to have a fully working system. So one thing to note in this mode right now is Exchange Online doesn't have support for HSM, so that's something we're working on them for the future. So right now you'll be required to import the key also into Exchange Online, and that's something we're working on, and we'll have more updates as soon as they're available. The next thing is buying RMS. So I always get the questions lately, like, how do I buy this? Where is this offer? What do I do? All right, so there's a couple of different ways. So there's on-premise, so you can either get that through Windows Server plus your CALs or ECALs for RMS, standalone or ECAL. For generic protection, we're going to give that away. So if you're, you know, need it on your devices, anywhere, go to the relevant app stores and download it, and it'll be for free. Generic protection will also work against AADRMS, so that'll just keep going. Now, the one thing to note here is kind of device support limited to the capabilities offered by Exchange Active Sync. So if you have a Active Sync enabled client, basically you're on-premise, like anytime you're trying to do cross-org, it tends to not work properly right now. So by going kind of Exchange Online with AADRM, you'll kind of restore that functionality. Two, what we also really want to think about here is how EAS protects the content. So right now, when you get a local copy of that EAS content, it's actually decrypted on the Exchange server, then it comes down to your device, and it's essentially a different type of encryption applied to that content. When we're talking about our new updated offer, when you're doing device or when you're viewing RMS content on your device, there's a couple of things that happen. One is we never, one of the modes that we're really evaluating right now is making sure that if you ever get a use license for it, once you click away from the content, we basically delete the keys associated with that content to kind of keep a stricter control of how that content is there. Two, that content key and that process all happens locally. So as soon as it's done, poof, the keys are gone. If you need to go open that content again, you have to go click on it. So we're kind of evaluating kind of usability versus the security right now. Another thing to kind of also keep in mind is the first offer, and sorry for the harsh transition, we're running out of time, but is the Office 365 offer. So today, the AADRM service is offered as a part of E3, E4, A3, A4. We'll be updating, hopefully later this calendar year, to offer G3 and G4 as a part of Suite, so you'll get your Azure AADRM capabilities with that. Next is, let's just say you're not using all the capabilities, or you want to use a connector. So if you're using the connector, you can purchase essentially the Azure AADRM premium SKU via the Office portal. And so essentially that's a standalone SKU that you can then use with your Exchange on-prem, SharePoint on-prem, you know, any of your Office clients to work against AADRM. Basically, the SKU includes all the capabilities that we've talked about today, including hybrid, BYOK, and other value-add capabilities that we'll be adding more in time. This is basically $2 a month for all uses, and third parties can use this SKU too without a surcharge. Now, the model for purchasing licenses in AADRM is slightly different than ADRMS. In ADRMS, both the person protecting the content and consuming the content had to have a license. In the AADRM model, basically anyone that protects content needs a license. Consuming the content is free. Now, what that means, though, is when you're thinking about how many to purchase, or it really depends on protection. Now, if you're using your desktop application, something's protected by the user, that's kind of one thing. Now, if it's also an Exchange server protecting on behalf of a user, that user would also need a license as well. But then on the consumption side, you no longer need to buy a separate CAL for anyone that's just actually consuming content. And what I mean by consuming content is that you're working in the space of one item, right? So that user will be able to reply, edit, whatever rights they have, kind of as a part of their thread, to consume it. So it's not creating new content, but if you're working on existing content that's been shared to you with the user that's licensed, everything, you're good. And then the last part is the ad hoc sign up that we talked about really early on will be really free. An invisible automatically managed SKU. So with the free SKU, there won't be any admin control over that tenant until the admin decides to come in there and scoop it up because they see the value in making sure that they have control of their keys as well. And that'll, we'll have more details on that one probably, I would say, mid-July. So stay tuned, and we have kind of links to our blogs and everything at the end. Now, we went through a lot of content today, so it can be overwhelming. But it's really simpler than it sounds, and there's some analysis that has to be done within your organization. So there's a lot of people that can help out here. So one is your sales partner, two is Microsoft Consulting, and three is Synergy Advisors. And we have Micah here and a couple of guys from the Synergy crew over here. So anytime you have any questions about deployment, ask them. The other part is, if you guys have any questions in general, just email us at askipteam@microsoft.com, and we'll get back to you right away. And in closing, one thing I kind of want to summarize from earlier, both earlier session and right now, is our offering has this chain, and it's grown a lot. Before, we're really kind of this enterprise product, and all your information stayed within enterprise, but now we've enabled device reach, we've enabled app reach, and it's really easier to kind of get out there and get started with the solution itself. And really what we want to do is focus really on kind of the new capabilities. And one of the big things is collaboration. So a lot of times, kind of going point to point, it's been a very difficult user experience. We want to hopefully have more protected content out there so people's data is protected. And really, when we talk about it, and I didn't really refer to it because we talked about it earlier, the network perimeter is dead. So anywhere your data is going, the perimeter isn't going to help you. If I'm copying to a cloud drive, I'm copying to USB, this is flowing everywhere. The second part about that is we want to make sure that your data remains accessible. So don't get in the way of people that legitimately have access to this content. Make sure that any of the tools that you've deployed within your infrastructure continue to work with protected content as well. So we want to make sure that anything we do is kind of not short-lived, but really kind of where we want to go to in the progression of enabling more information protection out there. Three, we walked through a lot of different topologies today, so sorry if it was a bit fast, but these slides will be available, and we'll continue to update them with the steps and everything else that's required for guidance, sizing, recommendations, any issues we find. So I'll give it, an updated link is all the way at the end of the presentation. Four, we want to make sure kind of two things here. You're in control of your keys. And what that really means is two things here. One is you're always in charge of your keys. You decide how you use them. Two, we're a Microsoft service, so we're always going to be continuing to up the bar on our trustworthy, our compliance, and everything else to make sure that we're doing right by you. For us, it'd be catastrophic if there's any sort of breach within our service. And basically, the offering price, it's right. So we're down to $2 a user per month. If you have E3, E4, A3, A4, you get it as a part of your subscription. Basically, when you also purchase the AADRM offer, it's applicable to your on-prem. If you have on-prem RMS, you'll be able to use it in either location. So hopefully, I know there's a lot of content, but here's some more. So part one was a talk by Dan, so it's referenced in here. So it's WCAB322 that he gave this morning. Next is we also have a Channel 9 site. So it's channel9.msdn.com, and then information protection. So any of the new announcements or new kind of how-tos or videos or any content will be posted there. Three, you can see the product demo at the Microsoft booth for identity and access. Four, if there are any kind of new, quicker, smaller announcements, a lot of times we also cross-post to blogs.technet.com/RMS. And I was mentioning before, if there are ever any questions or anything that you're kind of stumped by or couldn't find an answer for, just email us at askipteam@microsoft.com. All right, any questions? And we're also going to be at Ask the Experts in just a few minutes, but if you guys have any questions, I think it's the last session, so we can huddle around and talk through if you guys have any questions. No? Well, thanks. Yes, question. I believe so, but I would need to double check. So that's the case where you could have five users assigned to a single mailbox. Yeah. I think the office behavior, I think from a licensing perspective, one of the users, essentially that shared mailbox would need the license in that particular case. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for coming. And like I said, if you have any questions, feel free to send them to us. Thank you.